From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Leaves Home, verse number 46. Tarunam Ramaniyangam.
Tarunam Ramaniyangam.
Tarunam Ramaniyangam.
Tarunam Ramaniyangam.
Arunosthekshanadharam
Arunosthekshanadharam
Arunosthekshanadhanam
Arunosthekshanadhanam
Pranatashrayanam Nrimnam
Pranatashrayanam Nrimnam
Pranatashrayanam Nrimnam Sharanyam Karunanavam
Sharanyam Karunanavam
Sharanyam Karunanavam
Sharanyam Karunanavam
Word for word meaning Tarunam Youthful
Ramaniya
Attractive
Angam
All parts of the body
Aruna
Ostha Lips pinkish like the rising sun. Ikshana adharam. Eyes of the same nature. Pranata. One who is surrendered. Ashrayanam. Shelter of the surrendered. Nrimnam. Transcendentally pleasing in all respects. Saranyam, the person unto whom it is just worthy to surrender. Karuna, merciful like. Arnavam, the ocean. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Narad Muni continued, The Lord's form is always youthful. Every limb and every part of His body is properly formed, free from defects. His eyes and lips are pinkish like the rising sun. He is always prepared to give shelter to the surrendered souls, and anyone so fortunate as to look upon him feels all satisfaction. The Lord is always worthy to be the master of the surrendered soul, for he is the ocean of mercy. Please repeat after me. Narad Muni continued, The Lord's form is always youthful. Every limb and every part of his body
is properly formed,
free from defect.
His eyes and lips are pinkish,
like the rising sun.
He is always prepared to give shelter
to the surrendered soul.
And anyone so fortunate
as to look upon him feels all satisfaction.
The Lord is always
worthy to be the master of the surrendered soul,
for he is the ocean of mercy.
Purport. Everyone has to surrender to someone or someone superior. That is always the nature of our living condition. At the present moment, we are trying to surrender to someone, either to society or to our nation, family, state or government. The surrendering process already exists, but it is never perfect because the person or institution unto whom we surrender is imperfect. And our surrender, having so many ulterior motives, is also imperfect. As such, in the material world, no one is worthy to accept anyone's surrender. Nor does anyone fully surrender to anyone else unless obliged to do so. But here the surrendering process is voluntary, and the Lord is worthy to accept the surrender. This surrender by the living entity occurs automatically as soon as he sees the beautiful youthful nature of the Lord. The description given by Narad Muni is not imaginary. The form of the Lord is understood by the Parampara system. Mayavadi philosophers say that we have to imagine the form of the Lord, but here Narad Muni does not say so. Rather, he gives the description of the Lord from authoritative sources. He is himself an authority, and he is able to go to Vaikuntha Loka and see the Lord personally. Therefore, his description of the bodily features of the Lord is not imagination. Sometimes we give instructions to our students about the bodily features of the Lord and they paint him. Their paintings are not imaginary. The description is given through disciplic succession, just like that given by Narad Muni, who sees the Lord and describes his bodily features. Therefore, such descriptions should be accepted, and if they are painted, that is not imaginative painting. Om Agyanath Vibhansha Gnanjana Shilakaya Chakshurum Litamina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Purijam Pabhuti Nami Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyascha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vishnu Namo Namaha Hare Krishna. So here we are in the section where Narad Muni is instructing Dhruva Maharaj, little Dhruva, 5-year-old boy, who is in search of Lord Vishnu, but he doesn't know where to go, what to do. But he heard from his mother that go and worship Lord Vishnu. Only he can help you, not only you, but everyone else in the world. I also feel unfortunate and unqualified, sorry, not unfortunate, I'm rather fortunate to be here amongst you, but unqualified to sit here and describe Lord's pastimes. I'm carrying such a baggage of anartha in my heart, but with all your devotees' blessings, I may able to speak in pleasure of Srila Prabhupada and our lordships, and pleasure of all the assembled devotees. So here, Dhruva Maharaj was instructed by Narad Muni, and Narad Muni started with describing Ashtanga Yoga, giving instruction to perform Ashtanga Yoga. And so far, up to the previous verse, verse number 45, he has already described yama, niyama, asana, pranayama and pratyahar. He has already described that, where to go, what to do, where to sit. Now he is starting to describe dharana, dhyan and samadhi. Last three stages. All these last three stages, there is subtle difference. They look same, almost same. If person is sitting and meditating, one cannot say that he is right now in dharana stage or samadhi stage or in between dhyana stage. It is degree of intensity in which one performs Lord's meditation. Yeah, that classifies these three stages. Yeah. But nonetheless, one is advised to start meditating the beautiful form of the Lord in their heart, in their mind, from the stage of dharana. And then the intensity of their meditation increases. That becomes dhyana. And further, when it becomes completely steady, unshakable, they cannot withdraw their mind from seeing the Lord, thinking about Lord, then it is called samadhi. So here in this verses, we'll see Narad Muni is describing Lord's beauty. There are four aspects: Lord's Nama, Guna, Rupa and Leela. Nam means holy name, Guna means Lord's qualities, Rupa means Lord's form, and Leela means pastimes. So here in this verse 45, 46 and 47, 48, 49, these are verses describing Lord's form and qualities, Lord's Rupa and Guna. And further, he will describe Lord's pastimes as well and the holy name as well when he gives this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. That mantra, it is said, if one chants that mantra for 7 nights, 7 nights include 7 days also, then end of that, one will see the residents of Vaikuntha. They always travel throughout the universe to give shelter to living entities. One can see those residents of Vaikuntha flying in the sky if one chants this mantra for 7 days, 7 nights. It's a very powerful mantra. While reading this pastime and many other pastimes in the Bhagavatam, we see how devotees live in the forest. Great devotees like Dhruva Maharaj, you know, now he is in forest, and such a young boy, 5-year-old boy, and they perform very intense devotional service. Whenever I come across that, one question comes in mind. I become fearful. You know, how is that possible? You know, going into forest and just living alone there and performing, you know, devotional service. Aren't they afraid of doing that? You know, fear comes in heart. Because a lot of wild animals will be there. There is no facility. No facility for, proper facility for food, even water, sleeping arrangement. Nothing will be there. So life will be so austere. On top of that, there are ferocious animals, snakes. They are also living there. And they might capture you and harm you. So I was always wondering this fear. How can they do this? You know, once we are having retreat in our Hare Krishna Valley, and we've been asked to go to those bushes, the Otway ranges, and go and chant there, and chant your all 16 rounds, and then only you come out. You know, that was the instruction here. So go in seclusion, find your spot. You must chant alone like that. You know, that was the instruction given. So I went enthusiastically, like everyone else, and everyone went to different spots in the forest. Everyone was sitting. And then as soon as I found my spot, I sat there and started chanting. And then thoughts comes, you know, because Kesha Prabhu also mentioned that this is the season right now, snakes comes out. So be careful, you know, and especially while walking in the night, you know, have your torch and, you know, don't step on them, you know, if you see, just stay away, like that. So that came in my mind, you know, something will come out. So then I thought, okay, there is one fallen tree and branch is going up. So let me climb up and sit on top, you know, so a little bit safer. So I did that. And generally, when I chant, I start chanting and then I close my eyes, you know, like many of us do. But I remember 16 rounds I chanted, but my eyes were fully opened, looking everywhere, you know, is something coming or not. So such a fear, you know, strike in your heart, in such a place, living in the forest, this is not the forest which is described here, you know. This is real forest. You know? Nowadays, forest is also taken by humans, and you hardly see, in Australia, you hardly see any wild animals. You don't see. But this forest is different. So that fear is a product of attachment to material world. When one is attached to material world, material false attachments, that creates fear in your heart. In other words, you can say fear is due to our disconnection with the Supreme Lord, Lord Krishna. In Bhagavatam Vishri, when Agasur was ready to devour, he plotted whole thing, you know, I will sit like this and I will appear like an old cave and this boy is will start coming near to me thinking that I am the big cave, they want to play on the cave, inside the cave, and I will devour them. So he prepared nicely. And these boys were going, they thought, oh, we never saw this place before, you know, very beautiful place. Mm-hmm. Let's go and play there, you know, new place found to have our fun. So they all were going towards the Agasura's mouth, wide open mouth. And some of the boys started thinking, no, wait, you know, this is something else, it's not cave, it looks like a big snake, you know, has opened the mouth and wants to eat us. So better, you know, don't go there. By the way, Krishna wasn't with them at that time. He was herding the cows or looking for the cows, I think. So the other boys said, no, don't worry, you know, even that is... That is a snake, Krishna is there to help us. Krishna will save us, so don't worry. So like that, they just entered. And then we see that Krishna eventually saved them. So here the point fear, when they are connected with Krishna, when we are connected with Krishna, the fear doesn't come, cannot capture you in any way. So these gopas, little gopas, although they were entering the mouth of death, but still they were fearless because they had Krishna with them. So here Dhruva Maharaj also, he has blessings of Narad Muni. When he started speaking, Narad Muni started speaking, there is one verse, he says he blessed him. By just touching his forehead, he took away all of his sins. It says agam, sins, but we know Dhruva Maharaj is not sinful. But the import, the meaning of that word is that he took away all the impediments to the path of devotional service, whatever they were. So Narad Muni's blessings are with him. So he was also endowed with fearlessness. Now here, as I mentioned, Lord's Rupa and Guna has been described. Lord's beautiful form and Lord's beautiful qualities are been described. And Prabhupada, half of the purport, he talks about one particular quality called Sharanyam. We'll speak about that very soon. But before that, there are a few more qualities mentioned here. The word, first word is used as Tarunam. Tarunam means youthful. Lord is very youthful. Not like us. Biologically, we know that, you know, our body grows and at one point it stays for some while. sometime. And they say, scientists say, many cells are generated and then after some time they are destroyed and then new cells gets generated. But after a certain age, it happens that the cells we have, our body cells, they keeps dying, but the generation of new cells, the number of generating new cells eventually reduces. And that's why we see old age, you know, and then one point comes that there are no more new cells in the body generates, and then body is destroyed, body is dead. But Lord is not like that, you know. In Lord's case, he is not first of all made of matter. His body is Sachidananda, Sachidananda Vigraha. So he is ever youthful. There is no deterioration when it comes to Lord's beautiful form. So that's why Lord's form is described as Tarunam, youthful. Another rupa quality is rupa is mentioned that his body is his limbs are Ramaniya Angam. Ramaniya Angam means attractive limbs. His limbs are very attractive. All his limbs, like his lotus face, hands, lotus feet, and every part of his body are very attractive. The previous verse, or maybe verse before, no, previous verse, Narad Muni says that Sura Sundaram, he is described, Lord, as a Sura Sundaram. Sura means, do you know? Demigod, right? And Sundaram means beautiful. He is beautiful among all the demigods, or in other words, Prabhupada says, is beautiful than all the demigods. So his beauty is described and compared with whom? Demigods, not with human beings. Sura Sundaram, because of course, you know, human beings, we may say, you know, he is so beautiful, she is so beautiful, Miss World, Mr. World. No. You know, when demigods see us, for example, we see when we see hog, for example, you know, no one of us will say, "Oh, so beautiful," you know, right? We look at them as, you know, such a ugly creature, you know, not beautiful, not attractive to look at. You know? And when demigods see us, they think same way. Who are these people? Our beauty is not at all, you know, very, very great. You know. But when you see demigods, there are so many descriptions in Bhagavatam also, you will see, you know, ladies, for example, in the heavenly planets, their bodily fragrance goes to miles and miles. So such a beautiful fragrance they have, bodily fragrance. Whereas us, you know, in the material world, we have to use spray. Deodorants, you know, otherwise body will smell and, you know, people will go miles away. So Lord is compared with those beautiful beings of the heaven, but don't mistaken that he is not one of them, because there is nothing beautiful to compare in the material world. Most beautiful living beings are demigods. That's why, you know, for comparison, Narad Muni is addressing that he is Sura Sundara, beautiful, more beautiful than all the demigods. And who doesn't like to see beautiful people? You know, everyone would like to see beautiful things and beautiful people. They are very attractive, isn't it? That's true, that's fact. So that's why here Lord is described Ramaniya Angam, very attractive limbs, and Sura Sundaram. And another word was used, Prasanna Vadana. Prasanna Vadana. Prasanna means very joyful, very happy person, very, very jubilant. And Vadana, his Vadana means body. So his body, his demeanor is very pleasing. And that is, again, it says Saswat. The same previous verse, he says, Prasannabhimukham Saswat. His demeanor, right? How you say? Demeanor is very pleasing. Whoever sees the Lord, you will never see him morose, unhappy. He is always happy. Someone can say, being his children, we all in this material world suffer. So many people suffer in this material world, right? Dukhalayam ashashvatam. Dukhale, this place of misery. Everyone is suffering. So someone can say, why Lord is always happy? Because after all, we are also his children. He is like our father and we are his children. His children are suffering, but how come that father is always joyful and happy? Why he never feels sad about his children, that they are suffering? But no, you know, Lord cannot be unhappy ever. He is always prasanna, always happy. Just like a son. If you say, if son thinks that, you know, let me meet darkness, it is impossible. Wherever son will go, darkness will go away immediately, isn't it? So wherever Lord is, there is no question on unhappiness. Unhappiness, moroseness, sadness cannot touch him, cannot affect him. So that's why Lord is also described as Prasanna Vadana, Prasanna Mukha, Shashwat, always. So this is his Rupa. Beautiful limbs, always youthful, Tarunam, and always pleasing. Another beautiful feature mentioned here in this verse is Aruna Oshta Ikshana. His eyes and lips are just like Aruna. Aruna means sun. Sun, rising sun, Prabhupada mentions in the purport. Rising sun. People go to see sunset and sunrise, right? Why? Because it's most beautiful to look at that time. When you see this beautiful pinkish sun, when it's rising, the sky becomes pinkish. People like to see that. Very soothing, very pleasing. So Lord's lips and his eyes are compared with that rising sun, pinkish rising sun. Very beautiful to look at. So these are the few things mentioned to describe about Rupa. Tarunam, Ramaniyangam, and Aruna Oshta Ikshana. Then, here also Narad Muni mentions his guna. One guna is mentioned here is Karuna Arnav. Karuna Arnav. Karuna means, what does Karuna mean? Compassion, merciful, yeah. And Arnav means ocean. So we sing many times. You are singing, right? Guru Puja. Guru is also described ocean of mercy, and we also in our regular talk we say, Prabhu, you are ocean of mercy. Please shower some mercy upon me. But think, this ocean of mercy. Why Lord is described here, ocean of mercy? Ocean, the character of ocean, you stand in front of ocean, you know, it's vast, it's endless, you know, it's just a huge. And let's say, you know, we someone will think, these all countries are fighting with each other. Why? Just because of land, you know, some piece of land, India, Pakistan, or India, China, you know, like that. They're always, you know, want to capture some more land. This is our land. So someone will think that, let's see, there is so much water there. So why don't we create land over that water. It's anyway useless, you know, just create some space, you know, take out some water and create the land, and then we have huge land. So if someone try to think that and try to do that, will he be able to do that? Remove, you know, maybe let's say thousands of square kilometer ocean, remove that water somewhere, throw somewhere else, and you know, put the dirt in. Will it be possible? No. You cannot do that, you know, it's just inexhaustible, very vast. You cannot empty the ocean. So same way, Lord's mercy is also inexhaustible. No matter how much mercy Lord gives, but it never finishes, never ends. Just inexhaustible, keeps continuing, keeps coming. And another feature of the ocean, the waves are keep coming. It never stops, one after another, perpetually it comes. So Lord's mercy also flows like that, perpetually, never stops. And the ocean gives shelter to so many living entities. Those who are living inside the waters, and even those who are living outside of the waters. We know we are dependent on ocean. That's why we get rainfall, and through rainfall we get food grains and our life sustains. So many living entities are dependent on this ocean. So same way, every living entities are dependent on Lord's mercy, which is inexhaustible and continuously coming. He's so merciful, he not only maintains his devotees, but those who are not devotees, those who are not worshipping him, Lord maintains him also. And not only just today or yesterday or tomorrow, from time immemorial he is doing that. He never stops. So that's why Lord has been described here as Karuna Arnav, Karuna Arnav, ocean of mercy. And the another guna, another quality of Lord is Sharanyam. So Prabhupada writes almost half the purport on this quality. Sharanyam means who he is worthy to accept the surrender. So Prabhupada very nicely straightforward says, in this material world, this process of surrender is existing. We all surrender to someone, someone superior, rather our family member or nation or institution. We always surrender. But the person who is accepting surrender and the person who is surrendering, they both are imperfect. The person who is surrendering, he is doing because of some ulterior motives, as Prabhupada mentions. He wants something. Otherwise, he is obliged. That is the another reason. You know, slaves, they don't want to surrender, but you know, they have to surrender. They are obliged to do that. Otherwise, they will get beaten up and punished and like that. Or we want something from that person. That's why we surrender. So our surrender is not perfect. On the other side, the person who is accepting the surrender is also not perfect. He is also wanting something from us. He also wants to exploit. So this whole material world, whole creation is based on that. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. And that goes well, then our relationship is okay. Otherwise, just you know, something else. But something else also ends up in the same thing. So in the material world, this surrender process is imperfect, as Prabhupada mentions. On the other hand, the surrender devotees experience is voluntary. Prabhupada mentions that as soon as one sees the Lord, as soon as one starts doing some devotional service to the Lord and spiritual master, the voluntarily surrender rises in their heart, and they are doing happily. Why? Because Lord, as we mentioned, is Karuna Arnav. He gives mercy. The relationship is not conditional. Just like material relationships we have, it is unconditional. Lord doesn't want anything, and devotee also doesn't want anything. In one sense, they all want to please each other. Lord also wants to please his devotees, and devotee also wants to please his master, his Lord. So it's unconditional. No selfishness. The previous verse also mentions Prasad Abhimukham. Prasad means mercy. So Lord is always ready to give mercy to whoever comes to him. We stand in front of Lord, and Lord is very eager. You know what he is going to say, what he is going to speak to me. You know, is he going to ask me something? What he wants, you know. So he is very eager to listen, and as soon as the devotee says, you know, Lord, this, you know, Lord is sanctions, you know, immediately to help that devotee. So he is always eager. He is not miserly like us human being. As Prabhupada says, even a beggar is proud of his penny. He doesn't want anything. Lord has everything in abundance. In Vaikuntha, in Goloka Vrindavan, Lord has everything in abundance. All his servants, all opulence, everything is there. He's not miserly. So that's another beautiful quality mentioned here. And one more last point, and then I'll finish, is in verse 44, we see Lord Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, is described as Guru. The word used, Gurunam Guru, Gurunam Guru. This Guru means the spiritual master Krishna. So we know Guru, commonly we understand meaning of Guru is spiritual master. But Lord is Adi Guru. He is Guru of everyone. He is master of everyone. So the qualities Lord has that can manifest in spiritual master also. He is also ocean of mercy. And he is also Saranyam, worthy to accept surrender. In that way, he is also called Guru. So with this point, I'll end this Bhagavatam class. If anyone has any question, please ask. Yes, Prabhu.
Like sometimes when preaching, when they read in the books about surrendering to Krishna, surrendering to his spiritual master, and they feel like they get bereft of their freedom. But actually it's opposite. How do you explain it to them?
So you have to educate them what is real freedom is. First, their understanding of freedom is different. They think that to go around in different places in the world is called freedom. You know, to do whatever I like to do is called freedom. But this is false understanding of freedom. So you have to educate them what real freedom is. And to do that, you have to also mention that how you are bound, but you are thinking that you are free. Get the point? So practically we are bound in so many ways. Our body limits us, first of all, to do whatever we like to do. Not always possible. So we are bound. We are bound by so many ways. Not everyone can go. Everyone wants to go to different places of the world and travel around, but they are bound by, you know, I don't have money, I don't have visa, you know, something like that. So they are bound by so many ways. Body doesn't cooperate, as I mentioned. So give them the knowledge how these three modes of material nature binds us in many ways. So when they understand, actually I am not free, I am actually bound. When they are able to see that, Then when we explain what is real freedom, to be free from three modes of nature, then they will appreciate. Yes. Does it make sense? Yes, please.
What does the word Vyas Puja mean?
Vyas Puja. So Vyas refer, today you will hear anyway. Every day, every time we have Vyas Puja, they read from the book, right? Meaning of Vyas Puja. That's how it starts. So if you want to hear elaborate description, what is the meaning of Vyas Puja, you be here. But in short, Vyas Puja, Vyas is referring to Srila Vyasadeva. And all the spiritual master who comes in this weekly succession, they are representing Vyasadeva. So we are worshipping spiritual masters. That is called, worship of spiritual master is called Vyas Puja. Simple. Yes,
Father. You spoke about surrender. So how should one teach one's mind to surrender? Because mind's tendency is to do things impulsively. What steps one should take to train oneself to surrender?
I'm in same shoes for you. Yes. Time to time we get attacked by Maya Devi, isn't it? And we feel, you know, I'm not going anywhere. What do I do? What should I do? And we curse ourselves. Oh, why did I do that? Why did I say like that? It happens. We are not yet perfect. We are not yet there, you know. We are still in the process. We are in the journey. So it happens. So how to go about that? Just continue. They continue devotional service. And then eventually you will see you are getting better and better over the years. So that's only hope. If we stop it completely and go out, then we are called as, you know, he has fallen down or she has fallen down. But as long as we are in devotional service, keep doing it. Although here and there, you know, we stumble and do some nonsense, still we are safe and we are progressing. We are not fallen. Of course, always we feel like that, and we should feel like that I am fallen. But Lord doesn't see like that. He doesn't discriminate. In his eyes, even non-devotees who are not chanting and not worshipping, they are also candidate to receive his mercy as much as we do. So see, from Lord's eyes, that's why this description, beautiful descriptions of Lord Guna quality are described, that gives us hope that Lord will accept me. And we see another personal understanding I'll mention. Lord is very much pleased when we do sacrifice. Now sacrifice doesn't mean that you do something which gives you trouble. For example, you know, none of us, I'm not sure, but at least I won't be able to go to forest. As I mentioned, you know, I was so fearful, just sitting for 2 hours in the forest. I won't be able to do that, for example. So we may not be able to do what the great devotees are doing. But always we can do something more than what we are currently doing. Whatever we are currently, we can add something more to serve Krishna, right? So that is sacrifice. It is hard, right? Mind doesn't want to chant attentively, for example. And if you push your mind very hard and chant, that is sacrifice. So do something little extra than what we are. That pleases the Lord. Oh, he's endeavoring. You know, he's doing his best. He's doing something more. But another point is, it doesn't mean that you break yourself, you exhaust yourself. One shouldn't do like that either. This extreme, you know, I'll do everything. I'll do. Otherwise, you will break. So the message between the lines is, when our devotional service is unmotivated and without duplicity, without cheating mentality, and full of honesty, when we do even little service, Lord pleases. Lord likes that. You getting the point? So that is the thing. Yes, I am also chanting. I can chant attentively, but I am not chanting. That means I am duplicitous. I am dishonest. I am cheating, right? So it looks like, you know, you are chanting from ears, but you are not actually chanting, and it's not pleasing, because it is mixed with all the unwanted things, cheating, duplicity, dishonesty. And Lord sees that, and that doesn't please him, and that's why years after years we also feel like that and going nowhere. So even little simple thing like chanting, when we put sincere effort, that is called sacrifice in service of the Lord, and Lord is very pleased with that. One doesn't have to do big things, and doesn't have to achieve big results. Just little, whatever service we have done, do it with sincerity, without duplicity, without dishonesty, without cheating. So whenever we stumble and go in different direction, just get together yourself and then continue and add that sincerity in whatever you are doing, and you will see. So that's my personal understanding. It helps time to time. Anything else? Okay, then we land here. Thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.